Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My dear respected brothers and elders and ulama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know, is the most forgiving, most merciful, most compassionate, most clement. The most often repeated verse of the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Every surah Ba' 1 begins with that to remind every one of us how clement and how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. The ulama, they mentioned that on the arsh of Allah is written, paraphrased, that Allah's mercy encompasses His anger far more. And amongst the many manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, the mercy and compassion the mother shows to the child, and so father shows to the children, neighbors, wife to the husband, and so forth. Amongst the many mercies of Allah, compassion and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, Allah gives us the month of Ramadan. The ulama mentioned that Allah has given us the day of Jumu'ah to correct our entire week. Allah has given us the month of Ramadan to correct our entire year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Hajj to come through our entire life, to correct our entire life. Those who spend Hajj properly, you see that there's a reformation, transformation in their lives. Those who spend Ramadan properly, then the entire year. And the same for the day of Jummah. So we may have maybe one or two Jummahs left in the month of Ramadan. Like my dear brothers, they say that a person sometimes has a guest coming into the house. And this guest now stays for 29, 30 days. And this guest has many, many noble qualities. Generosity, kindness, and so forth. And he stays with us for the entire, our eating, sleeping, 24 hours is with us. After the departure, those qualities must have come into us. If we've not taken benefit of that guest and his qualities, then we've lost out. We might not get an opportunity to get this person coming back again. In the same way, the rain that falls, it falls on rocks and it falls on soil. The same rain falls on rocks and falls on soil. But what happens to the rock? Just on the surface, leaves a wet mark, gets dry, it's like it never came. But what does the soil do? The soil absorbs it. And then thereafter, crops, vegetation grow, and people, animals, everyone benefit. So Ramadan has come, Ramadan will go. Let it not be, my dear brothers, that the month of Ramadan comes, opportunity for us to turn to Allah, to bring changes into our life. Yes, we would have fasted. Yes, we would have prayed extra salah. Yes, we would have maybe prayed extra Quran. And yes, we may have even given more charity. And these are all noble acts. However, the asal maqsad is, after all, like a person who goes to the gym. For example, every day he goes, making sacrifices, gets on that treadmill, lifts those weights. But if after a month there's not been a change, we will question it. What were you doing in the gym? So question should come that this month of Ramadan, what will it bring? What changes? That is what's required. That this brings changes in our life. The month of Ramadan, the Quran states, is to bring taqwa. And taqwa is loosely translated fear of Allah. The ulama, they say the more correct definition is the God conscious, to be aware of Allah. To be conscious of Allah. That Allah is Sami', Allah is Basir, Allah is all hearing, all seeing, wherever I may be. And my dear brothers, like how a person, when they're ill, they use a thermometer to gauge the temperature, either in the tongue, under the armpit, and by that able to see how ill they are, with the fever and so forth. In the same way, there's a particular thermometer of Imam Bayy can use, where we can assess that what is expected in maqsood and matroob of Ramadan, the taqwa, God, has that come into my life? Amongst them, the ulama, they say the first one is the sign of priority. Then what do we prioritize? We know that at any one time, there's a competition, at least, between two things. What does your heart, what does our body prioritize? In terms of hierarchy, what do we put at the top? So for example, there is sleep and there is fajr. Now it's easy to pray fajr because we awake anyway because we want to eat. Because we know we have a long day of fasting. But let's go back 1 month or 2 months. Were we particular of salah at that time? So when there was a choice between the two, here alhamdulillah the temperature is relatively temperate. In our country, in England sometimes, you know, 4 o'clock, 4:10 is Fajr Salah. And we have to wake up at least 15-20 minutes earlier. because it's very, very cold outside. And you have to wear 2-3 items of clothing. And that's not enough. You have to take out, put gloves on to take out the ice, the snow from the windscreen. The engine takes time to warm up. And then you enter into the masjid. Whereas it had been so much more easier to switch the alarm off and go back to sleep. So we have to, one of the signs of taqwa, the Allah consciousness, fear of Allah, love of Allah, is that when there is a conflict of interest between two, what do we prioritize? Deen is not one of just proclamation. Those of us who are married will know. No matter how eloquent we may be, no matter how much we got gift of the gab, continue telling your wife, I love you, I love you, I love you. In different ways. However, if our actions are contrary to what we say, eventually she'll say, I'm happy with what you say. However, show me that you love me. Show me. So Islam is not just of the tongue, it's a practical manifestation from our body. So what do we prioritize? In the same manner, and I give example of Salah and Fajr and sleep. In our businesses, honesty and profit, what do we prioritize at that time? That if we're honest, we might not make as much money. However, what does the deen say? Awareness, Allah's, well, like a security camera. When there's a security camera, we'll put our foot on the brakes because they know there's a speed camera there. A person who's hell-bent on taking something from the shop, forget a camera inside the shop, security camera. That person may be hale and healthy and strong, 25 years old, 30 years old. He sees a feeble 5-year-old child come to buy sweets. That 5-year-old child's vision is sufficient for that person to abstain from the act of theft. It's only 5 years old, but they're watching me. The 5-year-old will stop a person from doing acts of displeasure. But the awareness of Allah is not enough for us, unfortunately, to put our foot on our brakes. So that's, in the same way, modesty. Modesty. In the same way, for example, there's a wedding in our family, that this much amount of money needs to be spent. This kind of decorations and printing of the cards and a week before, this culture, this is culture. Today, unfortunately, we probably spend more money on just the printing of the cards than Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi would have spent in all 11 of his marriages. Why? Because there's a culture, and we're finding it very difficult to go against the culture. Our deen is not a deen like a buffet. You know, we go to certain hotels, restaurants, it's a buffet. There may be three different types of eggs. Boiled eggs and scrambled eggs and masala eggs. And so many different types of salads. And we take our plate and we pick and choose what we want. I like boiled egg, I don't like this. We can do that with our food in a hotel. We can't do that with deen. It's not a request from Allah, it's a commandment of Allah, fi silmi kafa. Enter into Islam wholly, completely. I had a small tooth infection last week. And the doctor, the dentist prescribed antibiotics. And he said, take it twice a day. And what did he say? Complete the course. Even if the symptoms have gone away, you don't feel any pain, complete the course. No one leaves it halfway. No one wears half a seatbelt. No one drives a car with only 3 tires. But we'll practice on deen partially. Partially. So that one of the signs, my dear brother, is to have that azaim, the conviction, the commitment to deen. That this is what I've learnt in Ramadan. Ramadan has taught me that those things that are permissible, those things that are rewarding, to meet one's wife, to put a mosque, you know, when fasting, is rewarding. But here in the month of Ramadan, we abstain. What is permissible, water and food, we abstain. Even though there's nobody there. So when we can abstain from that which is permissible, our iman should be of that level that outside with the month of Ramadan, we should be able to leave those things that are impermissible. That's one thing. So one sign is priority. So each one can assess the thermometer. I can't put it, I have to put it into mine. So we have to use this thermometer. Number two, that in terms of restraint, That when the urge, and the urge will come, Allah's given us carnal lust and desires, we are insan. At that time, how much restraint do we have? Like the brakes in the car. It'll be tempting. Like the food was tempting. Yusuf alayhi salam, like for example right now, if the best meal was to put in front right now, all of us as human beings will be innately, instinctively desiring that. However, none of us will do it. But we desire, it's a human instinct. We wouldn't do it. Yusuf alayhi salam would never have done it. Okay, when he was in that room with Zulaykha. And when she tempted him, وَقَالَتْ حَيْتَ اللَّهِ come to me. She's young, high in nobility, attractive, he's also young, doors are locked, all the opportunities. But what is it that stopped him from doing it? The Quran says, قَالَ مَعَذَ اللَّهِ that fear of Allah, that restraint, that no, my Allah is watching. So in the same way, this should be coming into our lives, whether we are. And that's why the third sign is what's called private integrity. Meaning that it's easy to be pious whilst in the path of Allah, for me. It's easy to sound pious when you're sitting on a chair and delivering a lecture. It's easy to be pious in the month of Ramadan, in Etikaf, in the Haramain. But we all check ourselves. That is the same level of piety when I'm alone, when it's dark, when I've got that object in my hand and no one's watching. No one can see what I'm watching. For the young amongst the people, maybe the doors are locked, room has been put down, a separate window has opened, and the delete history button is very close by. In case parents walk in, siblings walk in, and we'll delete that history button. It may have been deleted from our history. It's not been deleted for that being, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. There's no sleep, no slumber. He's awake and aware, fully aware of everything. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبِ إِلَى مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. He's closer to us than our jugular vein. So that's real piety. That when we are all alone at that time, are we still obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time? Another sign of the taqwa coming into our life is obedience in difficulty. Like that athlete or that student, one is that they revise during the semester time. But those students, they progress and excel who in their free time they do it. The athlete will train when everybody else is training. The sports person, but he won't excel. He won't get the Ballon d'Or. Who gets the Ballon d'Or? The one who outside of his time, in discomfort, off-season time, will continue to practice. So it's easy to claim love when the conditions are conducive. It's easy to swim when the current is flowing one direction. Just follow. But it's very hard to swim against the current. It's very easy to come down a mountain. It's very difficult to climb up a mountain. That's what creates strength and rigidity. So in the same manner, when there is the displeasure maybe of the wife, maybe the displeasure, that's why one of the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, that those who love for Allah, hate for Allah, give for Allah, withhold for Allah, they have perfected the iman. The condition of iman is to love for Allah, to hate for Allah, to give for Allah and to withdraw, withheld, withhold for Allah. Now how can I be manifested? But demands from our wife, our children. I'm sure all the parents, all the adults amongst us here, it's not just a phenomenon here in England, fortunately, here, everywhere in the world. Have every single wife and ask her regarding the partner. She'll say, he's this, he's that. However, one thing is his excessive use of mobile phones. Most parents will say, that alhamdulillah, my son is doing hifz. My son, alhamdulillah, went in jamaat. Alhamdulillah, my son works hard. My son has excelled. But I'm sure we'll have the same thing. That, unfortunately, his mobile phone usage is a bit too much. First thing. So at that time, my dear brothers, we the ones who gave it to our children. Now we think at that time, that in giving it to that child at that time, was that linked with the obedience of Allah, with the pleasure of Allah? What is within the hudud of Sharia, by all means we should do. Spend according to our limits, or spend according to our capabilities. However, Iman, what does Iman say? What does Iman say? In the Quran, Allah mentioned regarding the Iman of the Sahaba, أَشْتِدَّوْ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. They were very strong against the kuffar. Meaning what? Not in the battlefield. Musa ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala an, his brother is being tied. He's non-Muslim. He's tied. Musa ibn Umair walks past and he said, you know, hold him tight. Don't let this one go. He's very, very, his mother's very wealthy. You'll get a lot of money for him. So he responded, I said, what do you mean, your mother? My mother is your mother. We're brothers. He said, no, you're not my brother. These are my brothers. Meaning, he demarcated. He knew that's his biological brother. But he was Iman. There's a non-Muslim, because of the kufr, at that time, that's the distinction is made. But Allah's pleasure does not lie in this. So the real test of our Iman and of taqwa, the connection with Allah is that how we act at that time, what do we give priority to? Yes, the child will be happy when we give him the latest gadget. The wife will maybe be happy when we give certain things. But in that is a lie the pleasure of Allah. No rotten seed will ever grow up to be a healthy tree to give luscious fruits. So what seeds are we sowing? So therefore, my dearest, but like how a person's got a GPS system in the car. What does that do? It tells them, this is the beginning of my journey, and this is my destination. And the GPS at that time will say, okay, make sure, this is the normal route. However, there's a roadblock here, avoid that. There's some traffic congestion here, avoid that. And it will say that avoid this, avoid that, and you'll reach a destination safe. It might take a little longer, but you have to be rerouted, but you'll get to your destination. This is taqwa. It makes the person reach Allah. And in between there'll be obstacles, there'll be tests. But we should build our Iman to that level. Like how we try for Sahri. At that time we might not be very hungry and thirsty at that time. What do? I know I do it. I leave one or two bottles of water right at the end. And I drink that. I don't do that throughout the entire year. Drink when I'm not thirsty. But why am I drinking it at that time, at 4:20? Somebody wants to see the moment, why are you drinking 2, 3? Quickly gulping it down. What will my answer be? For the 14 hours or 12 hours, whatever there is. So in the same way we build the strength of our Iman. So for the next 11 months, that it helps us at that time. It's not just for that period of time. The person says, oh, I'm not hungry right now, so I'm not going to eat Sahri. He'll feel it at 11 o'clock, never mind 4 o'clock. He won't make the same mistake again. So therefore, my dear respected brothers and elders, this is the maqsad. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he made dua, Allahumma aqsim lana min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asik. That Allah, give me so much of your khashiyah, your fear, that is enough as an impediment, a hurdle, an obstacle between me and committing sins. This is the bare minimum Iman level that we should have that stops a person from displeasing Allah. Those of us who are parents, we know we love our children unconditionally. How much he hurts us when that child shows disobedience. Ask that teacher how much he feels when a student is disobedient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more displeased when we will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why our deen, our religion is not only of do's, but also don'ts. There's a thing, like a person who's diabetic, there are certain things they have to do. And they have to abstain. They might tell it, that look, you'll have to start exercising a little bit. And make sure you eat this, eat that. While he does all of that, but he eats, continues having 4 teaspoons of sugar in his tea. That symptom's not gonna go down. So in the same manner, there are things that we need to do and there are things that we have to stay away from. So in 2 minutes we'll conclude. So like this, one is ourselves, my dear brothers, and second thing is we may create an environment in our home. That environment in the home is created so that our children also, and most importantly, for that we are the role models. The father who is walking with his child and he saw the puddle in front and he told the child, Abita, watch your step, there is a puddle in front. Straight away the child said, oh father, watch your step because I am following yours. Children don't learn just by listening. Children learn predominantly by observing. So they want to see There is there a similarity in my father, my mother's speech and their actions. And this is our biggest investment. Alhamdulillah, here in South Africa, many places, like in certain places in England, there is a nice Islamic environment. However, my dear brother, we still live in a non-Muslim country. We're still in the minority here like we are there. And there is a storm of batil and bedini that's hitting us like a tsunami. We have to ensure we build a fortress in our house. The bare minimum is we protect our children. For that, the adults amongst us, we'll have to make sacrifices. And this is our biggest investment. Myself, born in Zambia, then we moved, parents moved to England. If you would have asked my parents, why did they move as economic migrants? For the sake of money. There's nothing wrong with it. Better lifestyle. And that to some degree in England has been established. Now we go to England, and majority of the Muslims, alhamdulillah, in high positions, either in politics, in sport, in business. So the objective of forefathers was met. Alhamdulillah, we're prospering in terms of monetarily. But the biggest fikr concern we have in our country now, I'm sure the same here, is to safeguard the deen of our future generation. Because remember, which I will finish now, the tarbiyat of the children today is not being done by ustads. The tarbiyat of the children today is not being done by parents, unfortunately, and teachers. The tarbiyat of the children today is being done by that device, which every child has got today. And that is destroying physical, emotional, psychological, most important, the spiritual development of our children. The children don't need our presence with the TS. They need our presence. They need us to be there. Give time to our wives. Give time, quality time. Quality time to our wife. There's a difference between hearing and listening. You all are listening to me now, but you can hear the sounds outside. That's subconscious. You don't need to make an effort for the noise outside. Somebody sneezing, that's background noise. Let's not make it that we are hearing our wives. Listen to them. Listen to our wives. Part of Iman is to be good to one's wife. We'll be questioned on this. Our children, our wives, our neighbors, our relatives. We'll live our life, and this will conclude. Those who spend the Ramadan properly, Eid is a day of celebration. Let us spend our life like Ramadan, then the day of our death will be a day of celebration. May Allah give us all the tawfiq, inshallah. SubhanAllah, bihamdi, subhanAllah, bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.